Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, Why Catholic Parochial Education. Our guest expert is Superintendent of Nashville Catholic Schools, Rebecca Hamill. I'll introduce her in a moment, but first my monologue. I'm sure you have all heard people say the future of our country and the world lies in the hands of our children. I've heard it too, but I don't agree. The future of our country and the world lies not in the hands of our children, but in the hands of their parents. So how do we ensure that we will be good parents? How can we help our innocent little babies be the best they can be? My parenting mantra is, be careful what you say or do, because your kids will become you. It may take a couple of decades or more, but they will be the man or woman you are. So be the person you want your kids to become. Now, I know that sounds difficult and a bit, perhaps a lot, scary. I remember so well the day each of my children were born. What an awesome experience. Each time I stood in the delivery room, held him or her, and my little baby in my arms, and prayed, God, help me be a good father to this beautiful, precious child. And I've continued to pray that prayer every day for the last half century and more. Well, that's where parenting and education begins, in the delivery room or perhaps during pregnancy. Many new parents feel uncomfortable even holding a newborn, and the whole idea of changing a squirming, crying infant into a character-filled adult seems an impossible feat. If that were not true, there would be no need for any of the 80,000 parenting books Amazon has on sale. Well, don't try to read them all. One or two will do. But there is something much more important than reading parenting books. It is reading to your kids, because reading to them establishes learning as a habit and produces a love for reading and for learning. In the end, we can all parent and do a great job of it if we just calm down, relax, use common sense, hope, and pray. And I repeat, be the person you want your kids to become. Well, parents are the kids' earliest and most influential teachers, but there are many others who directly or indirectly teach our kids. School teachers, coaches, pastors, especially youth ministers, are easy examples. Kids' friends and peers have a limited but short-term effect. And believe it or not, your adult friends have a major influence on your kids' actions and values. In Deuteronomy, we read how we should teach the commandments to our children. And I quote, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." And in Proverbs, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Parents are the kids' number one teachers, and school teachers are number two. Remember, too, that most school days, teachers spend more time with your kids than you do. There's no way around that. So how do we find the best teachers and the best schools? Today's guest will most assuredly answer, choose a Catholic school. So let's put it to the test. Rebecca Hamill is originally from Indiana, has a bachelor's degree in elementary education from Indiana State University, and a master's in education administration and supervision from Butler University. She is currently completing her PhD in education leadership and policy from Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. She was a principal of several different schools in Indiana and Texas and served as the associate principal of a school in the Archdiocese of Atlanta until August 2018. She came to Nashville as the superintendent of schools of the Diocese of Nashville. Welcome, Rebecca, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so pleased to have you on the show. Rebecca, I have always wanted to give a pop quiz to his teacher. So let's get right to it. Now, I noticed you already wrote the answers. It's my fault. I shouldn't have given you the test. How do parents find the best teachers in the best school?
I always like to advise parents to do their homework, to visit the schools, and not be afraid to ask questions. The main goal is to find that Catholic community that best aligns with the needs of the family spiritually and academically, and that community that feels most like home to them. All schools have a culture that's unique. One thing parents will find in each of our 19 Catholic schools in this diocese is a Christ-centered environment, or a Catholic culture, yet that manifests differently in each community. It's that unique qualifier, often intangible, that yields the family feeling parents want for their child.
Rebecca, what sticks out as the number one reason parents should choose a Catholic school?
Well, in Nashville, some parents have their choice of private schools, and we know that many good things happen in public schools too, but none of them provide what we can in a Catholic school. The very reason we exist is to marry our faith with learning, to experience a personal and meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ, and to develop in our students that view of the world through the lens of our Catholic faith. This is a measure of success, for it bears fruit in our students as diligent students committed to God and service to others. They are confident leaders for the world.
That's really fine goals. It's very good. When I was a child, Catholic school teachers were almost all nuns, all sisters, with an occasional priest. Now, lay teachers, how can they be as effective in teaching values, character traits, and providing mentorship and leadership? Can they be as good as the nuns of yesteryear?
This is actually a point that Catholic schools have asked themselves for decades now, since we saw all the good sisters expand their work to the fields, other fields, post-Vatican II. It's the very reason our bishops have put programs into place for our teachers, requiring them to achieve greater understandings of the faith in addition to pedagogy they secure through undergraduate studies. Our teachers are expected to complete the first tier of this program within 3 years of their work with us. Of course, those who come to us with master degrees in theology are exempted, but this catechetical development program is in place for all dioceses in the nation, so we are able to pass along the faith with diligence and certainty, just as the sisters did for us at the inception of Catholic schools in this country.
Rebecca, it's my opinion, actually my experience, that teachers everywhere are underpaid. Can Catholic school teachers expect to have a lower salary than their peers in public schools?
In most cases, Catholic school teachers across the country receive lower compensation than our public school counterparts, and that is true here in our diocese as well. But it's important to understand a couple of things. First, our funding model varies drastically from government schools. We are primarily funded through tuition, and our parishes are supplementing financial assistance. We also have the ACE program from the diocese that lends support to our schools in this way. So we have to be mindful of that cost to parents, parishioners, and balance that robust offerings to deliver an excellent Catholic school experience.
It's a fact, Rebecca, that parents' involvement is one of the most important factors in a student's outcome. How do you get your parents involved? And are they more involved in your schools than in the peers' schools?
Parental involvement is key. And you even said in your opening remarks that parents are their children's first teachers. And this is a key belief in our operation. We believe our role is to walk alongside parents to guide these beautiful children on the path to heaven, and to assist the parents in that promise they made to God at baptism, which of course is to lead the child back home to his or her heavenly Father, where we will all be united again. So by the very nature of that relationship with parents, we tend to have strong engagement from our parents, and we have a full respect for their role as parent and share our role as the education expert so that we all deliver on that promise to God and help the child have the most fulfilling life here on earth. So in this way, we mutually enjoy all the benefits of a lively, loving community.
One of the things that I loved when I was in grade school was recess. And playing outdoors is so important. And I think it's one of the biggest deterrents and probably treatment available for kids with ADHD and just for kids in general. And I think getting in the habit of exercising and being active is such a good one to develop when you're young. Do you provide physical education for your kids?
We do. We do. And we also have our own curriculum guides. So in addition to recess, where students are able to go out and have free play or free choice of play, we do have standards for physical education, particularly at the younger grades or K through 8, so that students are learning the skills for a healthy life and moving their bodies in healthy ways so that, yes, we are achieving those goals that are written in our curriculum guides.
That's good. And your schools have band and choir?
Most of our schools do offer band and choir.
Most of them?
Most of them.
How about forensics? There was an article in the Tennessee Register a while ago about some of the forensic programs. I thought that was phenomenally a good article, and I was hoping that it's available to all your students. Is it?
It is available to all of our students. All schools are invited to participate in the forensics program. And in fact, that program is celebrating its 30th year next year. So while it's open to all 5th through 8th graders, and it is an excellent program for our young brothers and sisters who are budding in presence, poise, and confidence, it is an interest-driven program. So we typically have about 12 schools who participate, and then it's carried on at the high school level through robust arts program or fine arts programs. So students have the opportunity to participate in drama, dance, or music. Now that I have a full team in our Catholic schools office, we are looking into more programs that draw our students together diocesan-wide to showcase their many talents. But yes, the forensics program has been an excellent model and purposeful way to engage students throughout the diocese as one system.
I was so impressed with the article, I think it was 2 weeks ago in the Tennessee Register, about one of the graduates of Pope John II High School and one of the graduates from Father Ryan were both in college, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and they were both the student body presidents. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that was really a feather in somebody's hat. So you're doing something right, or at least they were doing something right.
Thank you. When we were doing some branding work last school year, one of the things we were reaching out to parents to have them tell their story or our collective story, is that they respect the fact that we're building confident leaders. So it's mm-hmm. nice that you were able to mm-hmm. recognize that in that story.
Well, another great lesson was Leon Mooney. And he was a fourth grader from St. Matthew's School who finished second in a science contest while competing against engineers and technical experts around the world, even PhD college professors. What a great story. Is that your standard?
Yes, we were all thrilled with Liam's performance and this major achievement. He truly has the gift of a young engineer's mind. The standard we hold for each of our students is one of excellence, which unfolds by following God's plan for each of us, and of course requires us to use the gifts and talents that He gave us. So that road will surely be met with challenges, but that's what we help our students do, is grow through those challenges so that they are their best selves. So yes, we do hold the bar pretty high, knowing that every student has something great to achieve.
How do your students score on the state tests?
Our students do not take the state tests, and those are criterion reference tests that measure how students perform to the standards established by the state curriculum. Instead, our students take a norm reference test, the Iowa assessment in the elementary grades. Rather than determining whether a child is proficient in performing against a certain standard, the Iowa measures how our students perform in relation to their peer groups throughout the country on concepts developed to reflect a child's ability to apply knowledge that they've learned in the classroom. So on the Iowa assessments, we perform very well. Students often perform in the highest quadrant performance, which means they're outscoring at least 75% of their counterparts in other schools. But to compare that performance in terms of proficiency in reading and math, which is a statistic that our government schools report, 73% of our third graders are proficient in reading, and 80% of them are proficient in math. By the time we get to eighth grade, we have 94% of our students proficient in reading and 87% proficient in math. And these are much higher than what our local school systems report on proficiencies in these same areas. Then, of course, our high school students take the ACT, and their statistics are regularly higher than the state averages.
Well, those are good numbers for the elementary schools, that's for sure. One of the things I want to know about is their high schools. It appears that all the diocesan high schools are college prep, and maybe they should be. But what about the kids who are not interested in college, who want to become a welder or take carpentry or farmer or become a barber or any of those other skills? It would seem to me that these kids go right out of high school into a year or two of training, and then they are on their own. Do you think they get enough clarification in character development and moral training in school to adapt to living in this world, our own world?
Yes. We would still encourage students who seek that Catholic high school experience, regardless of their plans for after high school, to reach out and attend one of ours. While each one of them is college prep, there are different tracks that students may take while there. So our schools have done a really good job of planning course offerings so that they meet the needs of all of our students. We've had students who graduate and then move right into cosmetology, where they might attend a two-year school and then become the hairstylist or the esthetician that they wish to be. So all of our schools are preparing them well for the choices that they determine to be their next path. But it is true that most of our students will move on to college.
So it's not correct for me to say they're all college prep, then, isn't it?
Well, they do label themselves as college prep.
And
they are, okay. Yes, but it's not they're not limited.
All right. Unfortunately, especially in the middle school and high school, discipline is a problem in many schools. Do you have a discipline problems in school, and do you use out-of-school suspensions?
So there are times, yes, when suspensions are issued for actions that are deemed serious to the health and well-being of the students. Our highest priority is nurturing the growth of our students, and a safe environment has to be in place for that to happen. So when a disciplinary matter gets to the level of suspension, parents are engaged in the discipline, and all decisions, again, are made out of the best interest of the safety for our students.
I work with a lot of teenagers, and one of the questions I always like to ask is, have they ever been suspended from school? And many of them will say yes, some, not all, but some. And I said, what for? And the most common thing is for skipping school. So I said, wow, that's great. So if you skip one school, you get 3 days off. I think I would have skipped the whole darn school year.
Right.
That doesn't make sense to me. So what do you do if a kid skips school?
Certainly students in Catholic schools don't skip school.
Oh, they don't
school.
Skip.
I'm sure that the administrators work with students and manage them accordingly. When we use suspensions, however, it's really more for the serious nature of problem that could harm either the student body or the student or family themselves.
Rebecca, is the drug, alcohol, and tobacco, is that a problem at your schools? Vaping a problem down there for middle school? Do you see any of that?
We do. We are aware that vaping, drug, and alcohol, tobacco use are all dangers to our students who also happen to be legally underage. So when incidents like that occur, we are very quick to address it. More important to us, though, is the need to educate our young people and their parents on the dangers of those products, not only for their own health, but for their family's health and for their future plans. Thus, we try to walk the walk with them and treat the issues very delicately while educating the students to thoroughly understand them. And also some of the tricks of the trade, I think, in the marketing of the vaping devices in particular, sometimes parents are not keen on all of the ways that those manifest. In fact, they often look like flash drives that we would use for our computer. So they're getting very good in the marketing of these devices and making it appealing, unfortunately, for our young people. Now, would I call it a problem? I would not call it a problem in the sense that we see a lot of our students mistreating these things, but they're always on our radar as things we want to keep at the forefront so that we're raising healthy and mindful young people.
I noticed that Father Ryan had a seminar on drugs a few months ago. And I really wanted to go to that, but unfortunately was not able. But I'm sure it was well done.
I'm sure it was. I think that one actually focused on vaping in particular,
yes,
because
vaping,
that is definitely on the rise with our younger people.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, do all of your faculty have degrees, and they have certificates for teaching?
By policy, our teachers are expected to hold state certification, and then at the high school level, they're to be certified in their area of expertise. But as we confront teacher shortages, which is a reality, it's possible for principals to hire an applicant with approval from me as the superintendent, but they also have the expectation to secure the necessary certification within a three-year period. Mm-hmm. So as an overall, yes, our teachers have their teaching degrees and have the necessary credentials to be in the positions they hold.
Good. I recorded a show few months ago with Sister Mary Johanna about the Education Savings Account Bill, which subsequently has passed, but then it's been rejected, and there's going to be a hearing, I think, next week, or the judge is going to make a decision next week about whether it can start this fall or next fall. Have you heard any more about that?
We have. My understanding is that both Nashville and Memphis will be challenging mm-hmm. the legislation in court. In fact, I thought that was due to happen this week. I've not heard anything recently. Mm-hmm. I consulted with our legal counsel just yesterday on this matter. So we suspect that everything will be moving forward. The deadline for application is May 7th, which is just a few days away mm-hmm. at this point. So we fully expect for this to move forward. And all indications from the Department of Ed in Tennessee are indicating the same.
Well, I surely hope so. It would be so good. The reason I brought it up is I saw an article. It was either in yesterday morning's paper or this morning's paper, is that the judge was going to make a decision whether they can start this fall or not, mm-hmm. pending the hearing of the court decision. But she said that would happen next week, and I don't remember whether it was the 5th or the 6th, mm-hmm. but just the day before the deadline, which...
Sure.
That's good. Well, I hope that goes through.
We do, too.
Tell us what your parents are saying about the school. Just give us some idea how much, some reviews, if you will.
Well, I think that's easy to gauge at this point in time. Now that our students have been doing the e-learning or the learning from home for several weeks at this point, and we have seen families and students come together to make thank you videos for our teachers and our schools, those are just so heartfelt and wonderful to see. So I feel like our students would say that our communities feel like home to them. It's a second home. It's why we have these great traditions of homecomings, and we see so many people supporting our schools once they leave and graduate. I just feel that our students would have very positive feelings about our schools.
Well, good. I'm sure you do. I know very well one of your teachers, and she's just a honey, and I would think the kids would just absolutely love her. You just mentioned a little bit about your e-learning, what you're doing now. What kind of adaptations did you make for the COVID-19 crisis?
Definitely. This kind of threw us into a tailspin of sorts. And fortunately, as timing goes, this came down just before spring break for most of our schools. And our teachers were very quick to respond, many of them sacrificing their spring break so that they can prepare for lessons online or to get packets in place for those regular pickups. And because of all of their efforts, we really have not missed a beat. Lessons continued online, and weekly distribution of packets, mostly for younger learners, were taking place at the schools. Certainly, parents are playing a key role in this as they now oversee their children's work in a more direct way than before COVID-19. But overall, I would deem our current practice very successful under the circumstances, and most definitely in comparison to what we've seen our public schools be able to pull off. I'm privy to superintendent calls that the Department of Ed hosts every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I've been diligent in tuning into those each week. And I'm flabbergasted at the number of students who are at home and doing nothing, and how many have how many systems have called the end of the school year. And that's not true of us. We have learning happening through May 15th, And that's when we'll mark the end of our school year and then provide our teachers yet another week to get any missing work in and work on grades and final assessments. So we feel very confident in our plan, and I just cannot reiterate enough how proud I am of our teachers and our administrators for pulling that off. And I know Bishop Spalding feels the same. He's even reached out to them through video to offer them his gratitude. So I'm feeling great about our e-learning plan.
Well, good. One of the things that parents use or people use to judge a college is how many of their students who come in as freshmen graduate out the front door rather than out the back door. And what kind of statistic can you tell us about your school?
Our high school graduation rates, yes, are very strong, around 100%.
Really?
And then I'm guessing 98%, if I'm not mistaken, are moving on to college. So, I feel like our schools are equipping our children very well to take that next step in their lives.
It sounds like you're doing a very great job, and I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Well, it's about time to wrap this up. It's been a real pleasure talking with you on WBOU FM 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. A great big thank you, Rebecca, and a thank you to our listeners. Without them, we wouldn't be existing. Before I sign off, one quick story. Some years ago, I had a talk with the band director at Brentwood High School, where four of my grandsons played and marched in the band. During the course of conversation, I told the director that I knew his band was one of the best around and acknowledged that the school was recognized as one of the best in the country and highly ranked by U.S. News and World Report. Then I said, if I had school kids today, I wouldn't want them to go to this school. Horrified, he asked why. Because, I said, it is so competitive, and the kids have so much homework. They study all the time. There's more at high school than a GPA. Well, he smiled and cleared his throat, and he said, well, it's not the school. It's not the teachers. It's not the homework. It's the kids. It's the kids who are so competitive. Well, knowing how my grandkids are, I knew he was right. They just are so competitive. And I agreed. It's the students who make the school. And my wife and I talk about that all the time. It's the students there. Right now, when the kids don't have college this last semester, they're missing out all the education they learn from other students. So on second thought, I would be excited to send my kids to a school like these kids attend. Four of my grandsons went there, two had perfect ACTs, one scored a 35, and the other poor guy only got 34. I'm so proud of all of them. Now for your homework. Get your family together and go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com. Click on audio blog and listen to this show with them. Discuss with your spouse the possibility of sending your kids to a Catholic school. And if you or they have any interest in Catholic schools, go visit one. If your family cannot afford the tuition, go to www.tnesa.org. That's TN for Tennessee, ESA for Education Savings Account.org, and find out how much you can earn and still qualify for an Education Savings Account. Then go back to my website, parenting-matters.com, click on homework, and comment on Children Nashville's Catholic Schools. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let me know. We'll find an expert to tell you all about it. Listening, thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.